Welcome to Healing Scars with Pastor Burton. Here, you'll find practical, relevant, biblical information. The Bible will be broken down verse by verse so that you get the full context of the scripture to better grow in your relationship with Jesus.
You know, good morning to everybody here. You know, thank you for joining us here in the sanctuary. And of course, you know, welcome to everybody joining us online and to everybody who listens on the podcast. You know, we appreciate you as well. We're just a couple days away from New Year's. This is that time of year. You know, no doubt people even here in the room are going to be ringing it in, staying up late. I can tell you, I'm typically not one of those people. My wife will tell you, I'm typically in bed with earplugs in. And trying to sleep. You know, all the loud pops and all that. Well, I ain't got time for that. I need my beauty sleep. I'm not as beautiful as my wife, so I need it. I'll tell you what. But everybody has a lot of stuff going on. A lot of people, they look at New Year's as being a fresh start. You know, that chance to start anew. It's one of those things where it's almost as if rolling that calendar over from December 31st to January 1st at the stroke of midnight just kind of magically makes all the bad just disappear, you know, starting anew. You know, and it's also that time of year a lot of people are making resolutions, right? They're looking to start new routines, new processes, revamp how they're living, you know, or how they're going about certain things, whether it's in their personal life, their work life, or all the above, you know, all that kind of stuff. This is that time of year where we're already seeing the ads. You know, the media and fitness companies are going nuts with their sales and their advertising saying, hey, you know, it's time for a healthier, sexier you and all that good stuff, you know. Matter of fact, gyms are already starting to get packed with people, because everybody's, you know, I got to lose a few pounds. And all that. That's always, you know, one of the big focuses. You know, this is also, you know, we see the stuff from banking and all that saying, hey, you know, let's get you refreshed financially and all that kind of stuff. There's a lot going on. You know, those next few weeks where the quote unquote health industry, you know, goes absolutely bonkers. You know, the new year, new me. So in preparing for the new year, we're gonna take a look at this. So our first point. So as we get started, now I'm flashing. Maybe get some new batteries over here. Yeah, we got some double A's. Well, okay, and I'm green on here again. Still can't hear me in the house, but that's okay. Y'all can hear me because I'm a loud guy, right? Okay, sometimes. Yeah, there's something. We'll figure it out. Anyway, whoa, see? And you just talk about it, and boom, there they go again. Weird. And I can assure you, because I was just looking at Darren, he wasn't touching nothing. And the enemy attacks, right? let's get this train back on the track. Let's go ahead and let's open up our Bibles or Bible apps, whatever it is that you use, to the book of Haggai, chapter 1. Yeah, just a little bit. So the book of Haggai, chapter 1, verses 5 through 7 is where we're at. So pretty much right there at the beginning. And the word says, now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but do not have enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Notice here how the word repeats itself. You know, it's really stressing the importance. Just like when we're in class and that sort of thing, and somebody, you know, the teacher repeats something, it's usually saying, hey, you should take note of this. This is probably on a test, that sort of thing, right? It's no different when we see things in the Bible. It's definitely something that we need to take note of. So just that piece right there, consider your ways. You know, I would highlight it, underline it, make a note in the margins, whatever. You know, it's worth looking at. Consider your ways, because it's another way of saying, be careful or give careful thought to your ways or your thoughts, the things that you do, you know, how you do things, why you're doing things, who you're doing them for. You know, that's a big one right there. You know, it's telling us don't get caught up in those selfish things, in those selfish ways. See, at this point in time, when you're looking at this passage in the Bible, people were living in luxury. They were, you know, reaping the benefits of where they were and all the stuff that had come to them. And while they were living in luxury with the nice homes and the good furniture, you know, they had food, they had drink and everything, but they were letting God's house just go to disrepair. They're just putting him off to the side, you know, out of sight, out of mind. It's all about me. Me, 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 me. It's a very selfish time. And it's no different today. People do the same thing. It's all about me, and they push God to the side. They don't want to make time for church. They don't want to make time for Bible study. They don't even want to make time for prayer and actually working on their relationship with God, right? It's a life of indulgence. And God saw this, but he prepared for it. Because he with all this indulgence, all this luxury, all this selfishness, no matter how good things got, no matter how prepared people thought that they were with all the food and all the drink and all this other stuff, it was never enough. There was always going to be a hole. And it's the same today. There's still a hole there where you get something and it's nice, but then the next model comes along, that bigger and greater thing, right? And so you're always wanting that bigger and badder thing. Like I said, just for a small while, it brings a little joy, but it's never going to bring total satisfaction. And it can't, because the only person who can do that is God. Amen. You know, you take a look at it. Today, all the stuff that's put out there, all the vanity that's out there, the houses, the cars, the clothes, the jewelry, this and that, you know, money, position, stature, you know, you get a hold of something, all this stuff. And after a while, it still leaves you with a hole. All this stuff that we turn into idols. Work can become an idol. Going out with the friends, going out and doing this, appearances, the way you look, the way you do certain things. You know, I was at work the other day, and somebody was talking about how their preteen son, not even a teenager yet, has a signature scent, a specific cologne that he wanted for Christmas, and that he's always asking for and goes through very rapidly, that cost over $100. I'm middle-aged, and I'm not even going to spend that kind of money on a cologne for me. It's outrageous. My wife's the first to tell you, I have trouble spending money on new shoes. I look for sales at Skechers all the time. Plus, their shoes are really comfy. But it's still the same thing. It's that big hole. Who am I going to impress? I'm looking at the world and what the world says is important. I'm putting value into what the world says is important and is of worth, right? Is the things that matter. And that's really not what it is. We get a hold of all these things, and we're looking for that hole that only the Holy Spirit can fill. The problem is the Holy Spirit's not able to fill that hole. Why? Because we're trying to satisfy it with all this other stuff, these selfish things, the greed, right? All this stuff that at some point has sin attached to it. And the Holy Spirit, God, cannot dwell where there is sin. We have to push all that stuff out and make room and give ourselves over wholly or fully to the Holy Spirit so that he can come and dwell within us. All that sin that carries over from the world, and we don't even use it, but don't even realize it, but we're setting up a roadblock to keep the Holy Spirit out. Professed Christians doing the same thing. It's just the world we live in. Now we're going to read back a little bit further, back in Haggai, chapter 1, verses 7 through 8. So yes, we're going over 7 again. And the word says, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. Now, being that we're living in New Testament times, and we have the Bible to look at, we know what it's saying is we are temple. We are the temple. It's not the building, right? The places that people go. People, I go to church. No, you are the church. You're going to the fellowship. You're going to the building. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. We are the temple. But in order for that to happen, I said we need to push out the world and shift our focus to him. We need to shift our focus and make sure it is on Jesus and give him the priority, not the other stuff. We have to let the Lord be the most important thing in our lives. Everything else is temporary. Where God and his treasures and the stuff that he has in his kingdom is eternal. If we go to Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21, most of us are pretty familiar with this. So Matthew 6, 19 through 21, the word puts it like this. Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. So if your heart is on yourself and not on God first, guess what? You're in trouble. You're in trouble. Now, I'm not saying don't go exercise. Lord knows, we can all exercise. I can use more than a little bit myself. I like me. But, you know, what we need to do is we need to make sure that when we do look at these things and we do shift over, we are trying to make these life changes, that the Lord is who's coming first, that our focus is on him, and that he is included in these things. Not pushed to the side to make way for these things in this new focus. So we have to make sure that we're asking ourselves, who's on first? You or God? Choose wisely. Which brings me to the next point. The seed will die. New Year's resolutions are typically the first commitments and the first failures people make year after year. Let me say that again. The first commitment and the first failure that people make year after year. That one stings a little bit, doesn't it? Because this is that time of year, everybody's like, hey, what's your New Year's resolution? What are you doing? And everybody wants to share them. And even if it's not a New Year's resolution, because not everybody makes them, but everybody's made a promise to themselves, to others at some point, and you know, we've all fallen through on those commitments. When we look at it, we're looking at a resolution. It is a promise. It's a sincere promise that we forget or we find excuses to dismiss. Oh, I don't have the time. Oh, I'm too tired. It's too expensive. right? Oh, I don't know. There's always something. I'll get to it, in other words. But then we never do. And under any other name, this broken resolution, this broken promise, this broken vow is a lie. People don't think about it that way, especially when it's to yourself. But a broken promise is a broken promise, and a broken promise is a lie. Because we jump to it. And what is a lie? That's right, a sin. A sin. So as we look to the new year, you know, I'll tell you a principle I've carried with me ever since my time serving on active duty. It's what we call one of our leadership principles. Know yourself and seek self-improvement. Know yourself and seek self-improvement. In other words, evaluate yourself, find your weaknesses, and improve upon them. Because we all have places that we're weak at. We all have places that we fail, things that we need to build up. Every single one of us. And the thing is when you build those things up, other things become weak. So you're constantly having to evaluate and shift to see where you need to work in your own life, trying to create that balance. So it's a bit of a teeter-totter, right? This is something that we all should be applying to our lives. It's actually a pretty valuable principle when you think about it. And why? Why is this so important? Well, because, like I said, it forces us to be honest with ourselves. So look at our failures and evaluate where we need to go in our lives, where our paths need to take us. And not only that, but once we have an idea where we're heading, what do I need to do to effect this change? That's a big one. So, you should renew your resolution. You should have a resolution. All of us should. But what should it be? Resolution to God. Because God should come first. That resolution, hey, you know what? I'm going to step back. And this is something I can do because I'm a Christian, I'm a believer, I love my God, I have a great relationship with Jesus, right? So I'm going to engage with Him first. I'm going to put Him at the forefront. I'm going to go to Him, I'm going to depend on Him, I'm going to lean on Him, I'm going to talk to Him, and I'm going to ask Him and follow His footsteps as He guides me. And let Him be my strength. That way I'm not going out and making promises that I'm iffy about, that I'm questionable about. Like, oh yeah, I could do it. Oh, maybe. I don't know. And that's really what it becomes. So, again, you know, how do we affect that change? How do we do the things without making a promise that we're not sure of whether or not we can actually deliver on it? We lean on Jesus. We depend on Jesus. And as Jesus puts it, the seed has to die. If we turn to John 12, verse 24. So John 12, verse 24. Jesus says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain." Now, in this case, when Jesus is talking, he's referring to himself as the seed, right? He's talking about his future with having to go to the cross and die and be reborn. However, sorry, I should say be reborn, be resurrected, excuse me. Go to the cross, die, and resurrect, right? Because we know 3 days later, he rose again. So, but in turn, with him doing this and how it applies to us, is once he was resurrected, he was there for people to see. And then, of course, he ascended with the promise to return. We as believers, we as Christians, at that point, all became seeds ourselves. Every single one of us. So the first thing that we have to decide is whether or not we're going to follow him, or if we're going to follow the way of the world. if we're going to keep to his commands, or we're going to do what the world says is cool. Because at the end of it all, we have to give up our own pettiness, our own selfishness, our own desires and lust, and follow what Christ has told us to do. We have to give up our own ambitions and our own greed to follow Christ. And we have to trust in God as our provider. Because if we ever expect to have something that's truly meaningful, that's going to come from following Christ. We don't look at it as a reward. It is a reward, but we don't look to that. When we do things with a joyful heart, it's because we want to do it. When we have a relationship with Christ, we do the things that he asks us to because we love him and because we want to do it, not because we have to do it. You're not expecting necessarily to actually, you know, it's like, yes, we know things are going to come, but you're not expecting that reward. It's like, hey, I know you don't have to. I know you can. I know you have the means, but you don't have to. Right? It's like having that person, you know, that friend or that relative. You know, maybe they're kind of down on their luck, right? Maybe they're having health issues. And so you go and you take care of them. You're not looking for money. You're not looking to benefit from, you know, their weakness or their illness or wherever they're at. You're going to do things because you love them and because you care about them. For instance, our neighbor Phil, who's been since been called home by the Lord. He was in the hospital for quite some time dealing with health ailments. And what did my lovely wife do? She went over, hey, don't worry about putting your laundry through and chancing things getting lost here at the hospital. Let us take him home, wash him for you, bring him back. Right? You know, we all, you know, occasionally, you know, we have that other person that's in the hospital. We know sometimes, depending on the hospital, that food can be kind of right? It's like, hey, what do you want? I'll bring you something. You want some KFC? What's going on? Right? Some candy? No, I'm not bringing you alcohol. You know, something reasonable. But, you know, it's those little things that we do. And it's because we love in Jesus. We want to have something meaningful. So we turn to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 36. So 1 Corinthians 15, 36. Paul writes, "Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies." And if we turn back a little bit more to verses 42 through 44, he continues to say, "The body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body." Now, for time's sake, we're not going to read through this whole passage, but, you know, I do encourage you all, you know, read through the whole thing starting in verse 35 and going all the way through verse 58. But what Paul's talking about here is every believer not only being perfected in heaven, but that will be recognizable because of it. But the key, again, is to die, and to die to self. In order to live, we all need to die. Churches sometimes go through the same thing, where they have to die, revamp, change processes, and start anew, right? Businesses do it all the time, where they're facing bankruptcy or they're facing foreclosure, and they go through a process so they can kind of wipe part of that slate and start again. Banks are real good for that, aren't they? How many times do you see them buying and trading each other out just to keep going, keep those doors open? You know, but we have to put our trust in him, and we have to die. Not like literally a physical death, right? But to ourselves. We need to die spiritually and be born again. Why? So that we can come forth and bring forth fruit, right? That's the biblical term for it. It's to bring forth fruit, to be fruitful. In 2 Corinthians 5, verses 17, So 2 Corinthians 5:17, the word says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. When you're born again, things change. You change. Some people a little faster than others, sure, but we all change. What you do, why you do it, how you do it, all this kind of stuff. Your priorities shift from being here to being here. There's a lot that goes on there. You no longer want to make promises that you know you can't keep. You don't want to make those empty promises. You don't want to tell, you know, those little white lies, right? Because lies are lies. It's like, You know, the Holy Spirit's working there. He's convicting you. All these little things saying, don't do it. Don't, you know better. Don't do it, right? We all hear that in the back of our head. You know, that parent, you know, it's like, you better stop. I'm gonna tan your hide. I'm gonna give you something to cry about. Knock it off, right? Just saying that, I already see my mom in the back of my head, you know, taking off that clog and getting ready to throw it at me. Chunk on nothing. It was a big wooden brick. You know, but things change. The way you walk changes. You know, the promises that you make, the vows that you make, whether they're to yourself or they're to somebody else, all of these things change. And when you make a promise at this point, once you're born anew, because you are a new creation, when you do make those promises, you do so with the intent of following them through. You're going to do everything in your ability to follow them through. Now, whether or not things work out or not, no. Who knows? Sometimes things just don't work out. You'd be like, you know what? Hey, I tried. I did this, I did that, but this was the result. I'm sorry, I couldn't come through. You know what? People respect that, though. And at that point, it's not a broken promise. Why? Because you followed through. You did your due diligence. You did what you were supposed to do. People respect that. And that brings joy to the Lord. So instead of feeling unfulfilled when we get things, you feel fulfilled. You already feel fulfilled by the things that you have. Instead of, you know, being unfulfilled because you don't get something, you're still filled. You still feel good because of what you have. You appreciate it. You know, I'd love a bigger motorcycle. I absolutely would. One with all the gadgets and everything. But you know what? It's not in the works for me right now, unfortunately. Just not there. Other things have to come first. There's other priorities. But you know what? I have a pretty good bike right now, and I'm pretty happy with that one. It is a good bike. Matter of fact, I like it so much, it's the only vehicle that actually stays in the garage. My wife laughs because it's true. I love you too, wife. You know, sure, you're still going to want other things, but if they don't come, it's not the end of the world. It's not a big deal because what you have is enough. And as a seed, you will eventually die. Each of us will eventually die. And here, yes, I am talking about a physical death. Because none of us gets out of here alive in that sense, right? We all have to face that first death. So the question is, are you going to die as a part of the world? Or are you going to be reborn to Christ to go and live forever in his kingdom? To go and live forever in his kingdom, a place with a true restart. Right? Because that's where things change. When we die spiritually and we're born again as a new creature, it is a new start. People aren't necessarily going to see it. Unbelievers aren't going to agree with it, but that is the case. So as we start looking at the new year and we start going into it, this is a time to let go of our past sins, to let go of our past failures, to let go of our past mistakes and missteps and all the places that we've fallen short. This is also the time where we need to strengthen our relationship with God. I'm not saying, you know, you need to mend the bridge. If you already have a relationship with the Lord, the bridge is already there. Work to improve it. You want a rickety old shaking wooden bridge? Or do you want some fancy state-of-the-art thing that's going to take you over oceans? Right? So turn with me now to Philippians chapter 3. So Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Paul writes, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have been apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." That's a big one. Because part of being a new creature, part of having that relationship with Christ, is learning to let go. And that's a hard one. That's a hard one. You know, the Bible tells us not to hold on to our past in several places. You know, it's like, yes, remember it, learn from it, but move on. Don't live there. And we do. We like to live in those glory days, don't we? You know, we're all, in our own sense, we're all Al Bundys. You know, scored 3 touchdowns in a single game. You know, whoa, Bundy, right? We all have these moments in our lives that we live in and we linger on. And it's very hard to get past them, you know? It's really hard to start moving forward at that point, though, because it is a chain. It is a shackle. Because while we look at it as the glory days and those better times, what we forget about are those hard things, those hardships, those sins that also happen at that time. Because no matter how good things were, at some point there was still some sin that had slid in there, right? But we do need to start moving forward on that new path with Christ. And when you truly become a Christian, meaning you've truly accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior and have invited him into your heart and you've surrendered yourself over to his leading, the old you at this point has died. The new you is born and things are starting to change. And this happens because at this point, we're being used. We're no longer being used by the world. We're no longer a tool of the enemy, whether we realize it or not. But we are part of the bride. And what we do for Christ. We are a tool that can be used by God to point the way to his kingdom, to bring light to his kingdom, right? To reflect the light of his kingdom, to point the way to him. When you were called by Christ and you answered that at the door, that little knock, at this point, you were giving up part of yourself. You know, you're giving yourself up to serve him, to be part of the church, to do his work in the world, to do his work for the kingdom. Thing is, though, because the world that we live in, we're getting pulled in 2 different directions. There's a constant tug of war there, right? We have to remember which side that we're actually going to give the power to, though. Because you can't serve 2 masters. Going to Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. So Matthew 6, 24, the word says, "No one can serve 2 masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." So you either serve Christ or you serve the world. And you have to be very careful of how willing you're ready you are to jump into the new year and treat it as a new chapter. Because the enemy has snares all over the place. You know, you call them landmines, you know, or you could pretend he's a toddler with a box of Legos thrown across the room and it's dark, you can't see nothing on the floor, right? You're going to step on one of those things at some point, unfortunately. So you have to be very careful. You know, getting caught up in resolutions and all the new fads, and there are a lot of them. You know, you find yourself eventually realizing, hey, I've fallen into a snare. But the problem is, a lot of us, we get so caught up in what's going on, we don't realize it until it's too late, until things already grabbed us, and we're caught up in it, and it's like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. It happens. You know, the enemy loves to use idols, loves to use idols. It's one of his best snares right there, one of his best tools. Because he can use those idols in various ways to tempt us and pull us away from Jesus. And the scary thing is they work. And they work really, really good. I mean really good. So we have to take that, we have to make that choice to walk away from him and to walk towards Christ, to walk towards the light. To repent of whatever snare it is it's caught us in. And people get caught up in all the time. Sports, celebrities, musicians. I mean, turn on the news and half of that nonsense telling you, you know, oh, you got to do this. This is the look. This is who you need to give to and how you need to do it. You know, even like we look at things like Goodwill. You know, I hate to call out certain programs. There's even veteran organizations as well. But you look at it, and here's businesses built upon people going in. You know, all their product comes from donations, essentially. Their employees are paid minimum wage, and they work a lot of hours. And yeah, they're getting some skills, and there's some stuff that goes on there, yeah. But then you look at the CEOs who are all billionaires. Every single one of them. And they really don't care about their employees, their well-being, their health, or anything like that. It's just like, eh, nope, hey, guess what? You're expendable. If you don't like the job, bye-bye. I left some of those jobs. So we have to be very careful. Because when we get caught up in these things, we need to remember, the devil just placed a temptation there. Here's this trinket. Do you want it? I will give it to you for a price. But I'll give it to you. Don't read the small print. You don't need it, right? Fine print being your soul. We like to say the devil made me do it, but the devil didn't make us do anything. He cannot make you do anything. Instead, he entices you. He holds up the shiny little thing. It's so precious. Like Smeagol, my precious. Little nerdy reference for you there. But he holds it up, and it's on us to make the choice. Like, yes, I want it. And a lot of us, we reach for it like a toddler, like a little tyke, right? Mine, yes, I got it. Without realizing the price. Our choice. So we have to be discerning. We have to be prayerful. We have to tread carefully on that battlefield. Because it is treacherous, my friend, and something will reach up and it will grab you. When it comes to the new year, new me, sure, go ahead, make a resolution. But make sure it's biblical. Make sure it's something sincere within you that serves the Lord. That you know you can follow through on. And if you haven't given yourself to the Lord yet, my recommendation would make a resolution to die to the world and be reborn in Christ. make that choice to go from death to life, from the world to the kingdom, to do the right thing for the right reason, and to love. So before we pray here, I'd like to remind everybody, as you leave here today, and for everybody online, this applies to you too, you are loved, and you are blessed. So when you leave and you go out to the world, go and be the church. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you again for our time here together. We thank you for making us new in you. We thank you for your sacrifice so that we can be made new in you. We ask that you guide us and you continue to remind us to put you first in everything that we do, to help us to ensure that everything that we do points the way to you. Help us where we're going to struggle. Help us those places that, you know, we have to go, that we're going to fall short, that we can't go to and can't get through without you. Remind us to lean on to you and depend on you for strength and to follow you, to step where you step. Help us with all these struggles with the world and its ways so that when we are out there, we don't fall into the enemy's traps. We thank you so much for your love, your mercy, your grace, all the blessings that you've given us and all the blessings yet to come. And we thank you for being our guide in this life. We thank you for all this and so much more. We love you. And all of his people said, amen and amen.
Thank you all for joining us here today at Healing Scars with Pastor Burton. Please like, subscribe, and share our podcast on any platform it is that you tune into us on. If you do have any questions, any prayer requests, or would like to know more about our ministry, you can find us on our website at bethelightsanctuary.org or on Facebook at Be The Light Sanctuary. You can also find how to contact us there, whether it's direct message or email. We look forward to hearing from you all. God bless.